All right? It's not me. It's Jesus, God himself. He expects you to know these things. So let's take a look at them. Let's look at the first one. It's Matthew 16. And we'll start with verse 1, go through the third verse. And I appreciate our large print edition. So thank you, Sean. And the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? The first thing the Lord wants us to be able to discern are the seasons in the natural, but especially in the spirit. Do you know what season you're in? Do you know what season this church is in? You know, there is a time, for instance, where we need to be pressing in and taking hold of our inheritance. The Bible says, the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. There's a season when you fast and pray and press in. But there's also another season where God just calls you to rest and receive as a son. Guess what season we're in? We're in the latter. And that's been confirmed these past several weeks and months. We're in a season of rest. But that doesn't mean we put our minds on cruise control. You know, when you're in a rest in God, it means that it's a time of preparation. It's a time of calling out to God and asking him for things. Call upon me and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. One of the things it's a real good time for is inviting people to church. They might not come right away. But as you continue to pray for them and invite them, they're going to come. But you prepare and sow the ground. It's a time of answered prayer. It's a time of realized dreams. It's a time where God just visits us with blessings because we're sons. And I share with you that time when I just went to New York like I had been going for 30 years. And this time was different. It was supernaturally blessed. And I was like saying, what's the difference? We would pray and we would ask God in the past and it would be business as usual. But this time the heavens opened up and the whole week was blessed. And I didn't have room enough to contain the blessing. What was the difference? So I asked the Lord about it. And he says, because you're my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He says, there's an inheritance that I have given you. And it's time for you to rest in it and receive it. And reach out in prayer and ask for things that only a son would ask for. You're not a servant or just a friend. You're a servant. You're a son, excuse me. And so it's knowing the seasons that we're in. Just like it is in the natural. You know, I appreciate springtime. You know, God gives things a boost, doesn't he? The grass grows really fast. There's just energy being released into the whole environment to get ready for the growing season. And then harvest comes and there's another boost. Now, if you try to sow in the middle of the summer, many, many things won't come up. And you seem to be fighting against the dryness, the bugs, the harsh conditions that come. You know, you take advantage of the springtime. You sow in the season and you understand these things. And it's also that way in the spirit. So the Lord wants us to discern the spirit and the season that we're in. And he expects us to know this. Now, he was speaking to a religious element that should have known the fact that the Son of God, that God himself was standing in front of them. But they had become blinded to the fact because of a prejudice that they had that he couldn't come the way they interpreted Scripture to say. And as a result, even though he was standing right in front of them, they couldn't see it. They couldn't discern the season of visitation that they were in. And because of that, he called them a hypocrite. He says, you're clueless. You're saying that you understand seasons, but you're clueless. And the thing about this is that this can happen to us. We can be in a season of visitation like what we're in right now and short circuit it because our thinking has been, well, Deborah's worked in the past. I've asked people and they don't come. I've invited folks. I've prayed for people and my prayers didn't get answered. I pray and I get sick and, it just doesn't work. What do you mean it's a time of visitation? Well, it's a time and it's a season of visitation. The Lord is in our midst. We are sons and daughters of the King. He's opening his storehouse to us. Today he's saying, listen, I want to remove those things that are blocking my love to you, my power through you. You know, I give you an invitation to come. And as we hear the spiritual season of preparation, we go forward and we have a breakthrough. Because the Lord is in our midst. All right. Let's go on to John chapter 6. This is the other thing we want to remember. This is what the Lord wants us to know. Not only the times and seasons, and by the way, there are individual things that you're going through, as well as the corporate thing as a church. We need to understand. Sometimes what happens is that you can be going through something individually, And you can get up here and share it, and it isn't something that's happening corporately. So everybody kind of goes like, huh? And that happens because we're just learning how to move and discern in the Spirit. Because you can be going through something individually, and the church can be going through something completely different. But nevertheless, you need to know those things and discern those things. And when you're connecting with what the Holy Spirit is saying to us as a church, and you connect and you bring it forth, the whole church is blessed. And you should be able to discern that. You should be able to know that. I remember one time we were in this service and the Holy Spirit was just moving so gently and beautifully. And somebody got up and gave this really harsh, judgmental thing, you know, where God is not pleased with you. And, you know, it just seemed like the whole thing was going to hit the floor. But the people of God discerned that this fellow was just needing prayer. So the pastor, which was me at the time, got up, and this was in another church. And I said, let's just surround this brother and pray for him and bless him right now. And the elders got around him and blessed him. And the whole church began to pray and worship. And the whole thing just went higher because they all discerned what the season that they were in. And the Holy Spirit just returned in a gentle way, and the Holy Spirit wasn't grieved, and that fellow got delivered. It was wonderful. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, where there's peace like a river, somebody comes in and they're agitated, they're going to see that, and it's going to come to the surface. And if they allow the Holy Spirit to work, he will set them free. John chapter 6, I'm not going to read the whole point of that. I just want to look at the verse 68. But you know the story where Jesus comes to about, 5,000 men, probably another 5,000 women, maybe another 10,000 children. There's about 20,000 people there. And he says, you follow me because I give you bread. But he says, I'm the bread that comes down from heaven. And if that didn't stir them up a little bit, he says, you got to eat of me. You got to eat my flesh. And then he torques it up a little bit. He says, you got to drink my blood. And it gets everybody stirred to the point where they all start leaving. And you got to understand that whatever your views on cannibalism is, to the Jews, it was 100 times more. This was abhorrent to them. Their mindset was, you don't eat meat with the blood. You don't drink blood. That's just not done. And it was totally abhorrent to them. And as a result, they began to leave. And when Jesus discerned that his disciples were going to leave, he turned to them and he says, are you going to leave too? And Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, says, Lord, where will we go? Only you have the words of life. And Jesus had said, my words are spirit and their life. You see, despite what Peter might have known, he said, something when you spoke ignited within me. It just jumped and leapt. Whenever you speak, I get turned on. I mean, I just get, my wires just get connected, and there's life, there's energy, there's meaning, there's something way beyond my understanding. And I don't understand it, but only you have the words of life. Where will we go? And Jesus is saying something about the fact that, you know, he'll never contradict his word. But he will contradict our understanding of his word when it doesn't line up to a higher spiritual principle that he wants to take us to. And so we can short circuit the work of the Spirit by our perception. You know, you hear something that comes to change your paradigm. And the first thing is you shut that thing down and you put your mind up there to protect yourself from being deceived. When you're deceived already. You see what I mean? Because here's the thing. God never intended for you to know spiritual things by your mind. You go into this heart first. Your mind can short circuit the work of God. When you try to figure God out, you bring him down to where you are. It's got to be heart first. It's got to be the words of life impact you like they did Peter. Peter says, Lord, I don't like what you just said, but where are we going to go? Only you have these words of life. I don't understand it. I remember he talked about Paul. He said, boy, Paul, he says these things we don't understand, but man, there's life out of what he says. Go listen to him. Go after it. And I want you to understand, people, that whenever there's the bringing forth of the word of God here, there's life going forth. You know, you come and you sit here and you say, oh, gee, it just doesn't seem to impact me. You need to get on your knees and pray and ask the Lord to life you, because life is coming out. And you need to get your battery terminals cleaned out because you're getting corroded. You know, it's like every time the word of God is shared, life is going forth, because there's life that just rests upon the word. And God expects you to zero in on that life. Pull that life out of the word. And if you just say, well, the preacher just isn't anointed. Oh, the word is. And if you're praying for the word, if you're praying for the power of God to be released, then what happens is God will not leave you disappointed. He will bring forth the word to you. Next week, we're going to have a guest ministry. Now, we're in a season right now, and this is my whole point that I'm going to get to. Because we're in a season right now, we're not having a lot of guest ministry in. You know why? Because the Lord wants to stir the word through you. And then he wants to prepare you to receive that word from one another. Oh, it's one thing to receive a word from somebody who flies across the country to be with us. Oh, they're so anointed. In fact, the anointing increases the further one travels. You know, to receive from the one right next to us, you know, we'll get to that in a minute. But God expects you to zero in on the life that's coming out of that word. And I want to encourage you, if you are feeling like you're just sort of dead in the water spiritually, what do you do? What's the simplest thing you can do? Open up the word and stare at the book. Just start staring at it. Read the words. Read it out loud. There is life resting on every word. Everything that is in that book is spirit and it's life, and it will life you, and it'll impact you, and it'll just get you going. And there are seasons that we go through where we are on Victory Mountain and we are in the valley. And when you're in the valley, you don't feel it. But the life is still there, and it's just as powerful as when you're in the mountaintop. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus says there's life that rests on my word. And if you don't understand it, that means that he is taking you into a breakthrough. He's taking you to a place where it's going to be heart first. But let the life of that thing be your guide. Don't let your mind short circuit that thing and shut it off. Say, no, don't understand it. Not going to go there. Or if something's brought forth that just isn't what you've been taught to understand that word to mean, don't shut that thing down. Let the life of the Spirit of God impact you. I remember when I was unsaved and people would come to me. One thing I could not ignore was the life coming out of them as they would share their testimony. They became very animated. They owned this thing, you know. It was like, it was just something that I couldn't deny. And that takes me to my third point, the power of the testimony, and that God wants us to discern the testimony of another. Mark 16 and 9, point number 3. And, you know, I didn't like what they said. I didn't agree with what they were talking about. But at the time, but they would share scripture. And I want to encourage you, whenever you're talking to somebody who doesn't know the Lord, put scripture before them. The Bible says God watches over his word to perform it. Your testimony is good. It whets the appetite. But the word is the power of God unto salvation. And many times that's what will stay with them. And people would come up and share their testimony and share a little bit of the word. And the thing is that I've been brought up in Sunday school and church, and I would know these scriptures. I'd heard these things, and I'd go back and these things would go over and over again in my mind until the life of God one night arrested me and I became born again. I came to know the Lord personally. And so will us if we recognize that this is not a one-time experience. There should be a constant lifing in his presence. Discern the testimony of another. Okay. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. God expects us to discern the testimony of another. When somebody gets up here and shares their testimony, there should be a point of life that comes out to you. Because the scripture says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so there's prophecy going forth, and God's people should be able to receive prophecy and the spirit of prophecy when it goes out and catch that thing and catch the life of that and be energized by it. Today, when my wife was prophesying and speaking over you, was there that stirring in your heart, or was it like, oh, that must be just her thing, you know, shut down, click, click, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, well. I hope she gets through it before 12 o'clock, you know, so we can get out of here. You know, I hope not. I hope not. You know, because we are praying that the spirit of prophecy moves in this place, that the spirit of God is free to flow through his whomever he wants to speak, that whomever wants to get up here and share a testimony will feel validated not only by God, but by the people of God, because, you know, What you value says a lot about who you are or whose you are. And the one thing that binds us together is we're his. And he's called us all by the same spirit together. And so when somebody gets up here, it can share a deliverance power to set us into another realm. It was through testimonies. and the Word of God that I was brought into the greatest breakthrough of my life in coming to know the Lord Jesus. We've got to understand that the purpose of testimonies in the house of the Lord is to stir the people of God to greater acts of endeavor, you know, like changing the world. All right. And the thing is that, you know, the fact that we have testimonies, we need to release them to the blessing of the body of Christ. It's not a show off time. It's not a time just to, you know, flap our jaws and let the wind blow through them. It's to build up the body of Christ. It's to release the prophetic unction and life that's in them. Let's go on with this story. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Let's move on. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11, this is Jesus, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now, here's the thing. You would think if you're going to start a whole new movement, that God would come to you first. You know, I mean, the men were just, they had it all figured out. I mean, this is the way it's going to go, you know. I mean, we're the 12, you know, we got the whole thing in the pocket, and he's going to show up and give us the key. You know, I mean, we've got to figure it out. And so, you know, he bypasses the whole thing and goes to Mary Magdalene, who had seven devils. Interesting. The first one to recognize Jesus' birth was Mary. The first one to recognize Jesus' spiritual birth or resurrection was Mary Magdalene. They give a testimony. A woman. All of a sudden, the patriarchal mindset is shut down. Do not receive. You know, I mean, it's just her. It's just that. And what happens? You miss what the Lord wants to do. And it can happen so easily in the church. All right, let's go to the one that I want to bring home. And that's in Matthew 10:40. This is discerning the Holy Ghost on a person. God wants you to know the times and seasons. What's the second one? The life on His Word. He wants you to know the power of the testimony that comes from that person who shares that testimony, to receive that testimony. And then number four, He wants you to discern the Holy Ghost on a person. Matthew 10:40. He that receives you receives me. And he that receives me receives him that sent me. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Lou Gosluth comes in here. You see him as a righteous man. What you sow is what you reap. You will receive a righteous man's revelation. But if you see him as a prophet to speak into your life and perhaps maybe confirm the seasons of where you're at personally, or maybe to perhaps confirm something you've heard from the Lord for your future, if you receive him as a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. It's up to you to discern the spirit on that person and his gift. And the thing is, he could be of any of the ficus, he could be an evangelist and yet move prophetically. He could have a prophetic moment and that could be a word that is just given to you. But you might have some sort of mindset where I don't like people with white hair. I don't receive from the older generation. I only want my own generation, you know. It's interesting, when we were ministering at the college, it became very apparent that, you know, they receive more from their peers than they do from adults. And they develop this mindset where they'll hear from one another, but somebody comes in who's, you know, beginning to show signs of age, and there's a wall that goes up. And what they're doing is, of course, they're cutting themselves off from a tremendous flow of God's river. And we don't want to do that, do we? We want to be careful. Discern the Holy Ghost in a person and on a person. Luke 4 and 23. Let's take a look at this, and we'll close with this. Jesus is in Capernaum. He's starting his ministry. He's in Nazareth. And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in this country." Now, he's in Nazareth, and he had been through Capernaum, and they heard these great words of miracles and testimony of the power of God through this man. And he's saying, well, you've heard the proverb. What you've done there, do it here. Go on. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." Uh-oh. The sin of familiarity. It could short-circuit the work of the Spirit. Okay, if you bring in, you know, somebody from California, they're pretty anointed. If you bring somebody from Zimbabwe, they're really anointed. Yeah, I can hear somebody from Zimbabwe, but, you know, Wellsboro? What good thing can come from there? Mansfield? What? I don't think so. A prophet is not with honor in his own country. Now, does God see it that way? Does God limit a prophet in his own hometown from releasing the blessing on the people of God? No, it's the people themselves. They have a mindset that short circuits the work of the Spirit. God expects us to discern the word of the Lord and the life of the Spirit coming out of whoever stands up in front of here. And you got to be careful that you don't look to the man or to the woman, but you look to the life that you are expecting to come out of that. And if there isn't any life, then you pray for that person. You pray for that individual that greater anointing, greater life will be flowing out of them. Because most of the time, it's a prayer for yourself. Because what's happened is maybe there's a cloud over you and you don't see it. And it's an interesting thing, but, you know, when worship songs no longer have their life, I mean, it's like when you get to the point where scripture or worship songs get old, you know, like you open up the book and it just is lifeless. I realize I'm in serious weeds. I realize that there's a big difference between when I was first saved and my current condition. And the question is now, what am I going to do about it? It's a warning sign that something's growing cold. My heart is growing cold. There's a separation that needs to be addressed. What am I going to do about it? Am I going to take it passively, or am I going to do violence and get a change in my spiritual condition? I mean, you can have two people come in. One person's like this. The other one's looking around. What's going on here? You know what I'm saying? It's the condition of the heart, the attitude of the mind. Now let's take a look on this next verse. "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, save in Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were absolutely thrilled." Basically, Jesus is saying, listen, if you won't receive the life that I'm sending you, I'll send it out somewhere else. I'll send down to the church down the street. When they have revival, you go visit them. It's interesting, but sometimes God will have you pray for somebody that you don't like, that they get blessed, and then they'll get blessed. And then he'll arrange a circumstance where they will pray for you. And if you're not willing to do that, you're not humble or broken enough to receive the blessing that God had intended for you all along. That's his way. But you don't understand these things unless you receive the life of the Sermon on the Mount. The life of the character of Jesus, who made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself so that others could be blessed. But when you enter into the life of that experience of Christ-likeness, then it becomes very much all making sense. Now, let's go back a few verses before verse 23. Verse 20. Okay, Jesus is in Nazareth. He's just read the book of Isaiah, the last part about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to, you know, set the captives free. And he closes the book. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Let's stop right there. Their hearts were set on fire. They received the light. They felt it. They felt the life. You know, they were expecting this one who'd come through Capernaum to do the same works in their midst. And he would have if it weren't for the next verse. Folks, this can happen to us. This is a warning prophetically to us. We can start asking questions. Why isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening? I mean, God is among us. And on and on. And they're saying, wait a minute, isn't this Joseph's son? You know, doesn't he have brothers and sisters? Don't we know? Yeah. They began to think, you know, how can this guy be God if he's got a father and a mother and brothers and sisters? I mean, you know, what's the deal here? And they began to question and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, I believe God's a God of miracles. I believe he's a God of power that he wants to do above and beyond and exceedingly beyond anything we could ask or think in this place. And that's only going to happen when we get guest ministry flowing back in here again. That's only going to happen when we get a stream of anointed, powerful vessels of God speaking the word in the Holy Ghost. We all sit there and get blown away. Oh, we run to the altar. Yes, come on. Lay it on me. Whoa, 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 whoa. But have Chris come on up, or Drew, or Dave Canals, or Dave Allen. Oh, they're just homeboys. They're just one of us. The questions begin to rise. Can God do anything through them? Can he say anything through them? And we shut down. And we miss the season that we find ourselves in. Do you know there was a time when we had guest ministry coming through this place? I mean, it was just like almost every week. And it was an amazing time, and it was a season that God had ordained. I don't understand it, but right now we're not in that season. It's a season of rest. But it doesn't mean you just sit there and fall asleep. It means now you got to get off your butts and start saying, God, here I am, use me, speak through me, give me testimonies, give me the word of the Lord, give me something to release life, to build this house, so that when they start coming again, we can just go to another level. We'll minister life to the level of our understanding, and then when it's in your good time to bring in others who will challenge us to another level, then we'll do that. But we're not going to miss the visitation and the season that we're in right now. And you see, you're here to discern that. So we might think God's not moving. Things aren't happening. You know, let's just shut down. Let's just get distracted. It's a good time to just sort of be. No, this is a time where even more than before. In fact, when we have guest ministry, then you can somewhat go on cruise control, but you really can't then either, can you? You see what I'm saying? Now we have to be more active and proactive. I mean, if you need, I'll just come up each week and I'll just keep at it. Because there's never a lack of what the Lord wants to say to His people. He always wants to bless His people. He doesn't want to go to the church down the street. He doesn't want to go somewhere else. He wants to bless you. He wants to visit us. He didn't start this thing and say, okay, you're on your own. See you later. He wants to carry us through to its glorious inheritance being completely fulfilled. And that means each and every one of us hearing what the Spirit of God is saying throughout the week. Things that happen that are important to God and to us that we need to hear. A lot of you are sitting on things that God is saying that we need to hear that will encourage us and build us up. And what I'm planning to do in the near future, and I promise this before it's going to happen, is I'm going to start having the men, I'm just going to start with them, a few at a time, come up and share under forced pressure. Because I'll give them a phone call and say, you have 2 weeks to get something from God. And I want you to be there. And I want you to get up and share. And, you know, if after 2 weeks you're just too filled with fear, we'll pray that God fills you with more love and we'll give you another shot at it. But the point of it all is that, you know, I want to stir up this body to be able to feel like you can come up here and you will be received. And what you have to say will literally change your world. It starts here. If we can't make it happen here, how are we going to do it on the mission field? You know what I'm saying? You've got to start here. And there might be a season where the Lord takes us from here and has us go over there for some short terms. And I take a few of you with me and we do some leadership training. I don't know. But the Bible does say that we should be both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And right now, it's just more Jerusalem. So we have some calling, to embrace for the nations. But God's saying, I want to get you comfortable sharing your testimony, sharing your faith, so that when I do release you to the nations, you won't be just bound in fear or buying into that mindset that you have nothing to share or that you can't get a hold of God and get a word when you have to. If you think every week, you know, the Spirit of God just comes, you know, four Levitical priests open up the Ark of the Covenant in front of me and the light, the glory shines upon me. And it's just, you know, I get this download from heaven. It's just this marvelous, you know, incredible visitation every week, you know, and it comes, you know, floating in. It doesn't quite work that way. Sometimes you don't know what you're going to say till you stand in front of the people of God. But look at that. It's almost noon, and we've had a message. Actually, several messages. One from a woman, another from a man. Imagine that. Now, I hope you don't cut one off in favor of the other. I hope you hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us, because right now we're all we have. We're it. And you know what? He says it's enough. There's enough anointing here to heal every sickness, to break through in every problem that's happening. I mean, we have enough prayer power. We have enough. All this potential is here. God's saying, my grace is enough and you're enough. Don't say we are weak, because the weak should say, I'm strong, because in Him we are complete. And so we find ourselves in a season like this and we say, wow, we're in a time of visitation. We're in a time where the Lord is going to meet with us. And He doesn't want to go down the street. He wants to work right here. So what are we going to do? What's our answer going to be?
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes. Well,
come on. You can do this. So you men out there on the tractor, instead of thinking about how you're going to make the next turn, am I going to go right or am I going to be left? You know, you could also say, God, speak to me. Show me something about the natural world that I can apply to the spiritual and bring into the house of the Lord and bless the people of God. I think that would be just fine. I believe he's given you teachings. He's given you messages. I sure hope he is. If not, we're going to pray that this be stirred up. So let's just bow our hearts and just ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, today we've been reminded there's four things you want us to know. The times and the seasons. The life that's upon your word. The power of a person's testimony. And the power on a person who's speaking under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Because the people of God are receiving you. Because the people of God are believing you to speak through that person. Father, help us not to short circuit the work of the Spirit through one another in this place. Help us not to fall into the pattern of familiarity where we short circuit the work of the Spirit of God. But Lord, open up our eyes, open up our spirit, and particularly our hearts to receive from one another and to receive from you. But Lord, I hear you saying right now, and the fact that we cannot receive from another, we cannot receive from you. Did you hear that? That just came right off the press. To the degree that we are not going to receive from another, we will not be able to receive from you. There's the message. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, I just pray that we have open hearts and faith in an awesome God who can speak to anyone, through anyone, because you're that big and you're that good. So, Lord, release the Word of God. Release the testimony. Release the creative flow through each and every one here and bless them. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.